If Murray has supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes.
Underneath breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grime America Show. Coming at you with Richard Dell this week. What a barn burner this one is. People are going to love it or hate it. One of the two, but it's quite...
No, funny. I don't think our crowd is going to hate it. I mean, he even stayed out of, like, polarizing politics and stuff. He was really good at just, like, keeping it to the real-life X-Files, you know?
It was good chat.
I was super excited. That was good. That was a lot of fun.
Of course, if people want to skip our lazy ramblings, they can do so by finding the timestamp in the show notes and clicking on that. It'll take you right to the interview with Richard or Jacques or whatever we're calling him, this mysterious cat, who I think we're going to do a to-be-continued episode with. I think we should wait till after the Atlas date, because it'll just be funner that way. Because then we'll know a lot more. What did it do? Did it come by? Did it seed us? Did it? What did it do? What happened? I have a feeling Richard's going to have some answers.
Oh, that's why he said, like, touch base, like, 6 days or 7 days before. Was it six, seven, or eight? Do you remember?
Six, I think. He thinks the world's going to be over, so he doesn't have to do the interview. It's like, check in with me the day after the apocalypse, buddy. Just kidding. It was a good chat. Fun one. People should enjoy it. Of course, we've got everybody's favorite podcaster here, Graham Touched Up Dunlop.
Touched up. Oh, touched up. I thought you said touched up.
Making myself shiny on Zoom the other day.
I think it was already there.
Yeah, it does it automatically.
I think it was already, it was default. It was either the default last time I used it or the default setting or something.
Last time you were using it, you were trying to use Zoom to just shed a few pounds.
Yeah, just like slim up the chin a little bit, you know.
Pretty soon. You could probably just, I'm sure on like some of those apps, you could just click shit. Click. Yeah. Tighten this up.
Get rid of my, the breakout on my forehead.
Breakout like pimples?
Yeah. Well, no, not pimples. I don't know what it is. Just like, it's a rash.
Weird rash.
Yeah, it's kind of been around for a couple of years now, and I've never had it in my life before, but.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's not good. I picked up something from some wild parsnip a few years back that comes back in my finger sometimes if I get it out in too much sunlight.
What?
Yeah, it seems crazy to me. Seems maybe I'm lying. Check out Ask the Assistant if that's a thing from Wild Parsnip. That's what Miles told me.
Wow. I think Miles was pulling your leg, but
you think so? I just have this sort of recurring rash. It happens once in a while, then it won't. I don't get a lot in the winter, but it seems to be more of a summer thing. And it seems to be because of exposure to sunlight. But I don't know. But no, so I heard on our trip that you finally had a bath. I mean, this is exciting news. It should be mentioned on the show.
Yeah, well, you remember we were trying to figure out when it was going to be. It was before month end. Like I said, it was probably going to be by the, you were like, is it going to be by the end of September? Well, the floor is done. The bath is in. It's almost finished. Now we got to work on the drop ceiling. So.
Oh, you're bathing.
But I'm bathing, yeah.
It's a big win.
It's a big win, yeah. It's a bit too big of a tub, actually. I don't have.
You need a life vest.
I need to figure out a way to, like, how I need something to rest my feet on so I don't fall just constantly sinking down to the bottom of it. Like,
It's like not big enough to stop you. You need like a booster seat for the tablet.
That's exactly what it is. I need a telephone book for the tub.
Otherwise, if you fall away, you're just going to slip away under the... You fall asleep, you just slip away underneath the...
Yeah, underneath the water, yeah. I need something to lean my feet on.
Just get a nice big, like, crystal or something and put it in there.
There you go.
That's so people, I mean, you don't want it to just look like a booster seat. So whenever it comes, they're like, oh, nice fucking bath stool, buddy.
So anyways, yeah, the rentals are going good. I put the gutters up on the shed too. So that's done. Yeah, it's good. So I cleaned up the garage, got sort of a little workshop area, like, but got the tools all organized and little workshop areas. So, you know, ready for the winter if I have to do stuff in the garage.
If it comes up fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could, like, cause 1 year I was here, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, man, the snow came in October and it stayed, you know, it didn't go away. Like, I think 1 year it went away and then it came back like later in November, which wasn't so bad, but when it comes in October and it stays, it just makes for a long winter. Like, yeah, we're a little colder than you all winter long, you know?
Did you find anything on wild parsnip?
I'm not looking for that. No, I
don't. You didn't look for it?
The summer. No, I didn't look. I opened up my browser that I thought, no, I'm not going to look for the wild
parsnip. Fuck it. The Discord is back. That's exciting. I didn't change the link yet, but I will, I guess. I guess they're just deleted and gilded, so.
Well, that makes it easy then, I guess, because I was supposed to check out this other chat for Ryan, and I kind of tried, or I went there, and I just can't manage all these apps. What's going on with me? I just can't, you know.
Are you on Discord?
Too much. I'm trying not to spend so much time on my phone when I'm not at my computer, because I'm at my computer all the time, right? And the first thing in the morning, I'm at my computer.
Did you get banned from Discord?
I got banned from Discord, yeah. And because you know why? Grimstakes channel. Like, I was in there. I was a moderator in their channel, I think, so.
Which is why our channel got trashed.
Which is why our channel got trashed.
Because you're a moderator in both.
Is that why? No.
I think so.
It's because of me?
I think it was because of you. I mean, to be fair, it was still kind of running when we left anyway, because we seen the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
But everything else has sort of been a shit show since then.
Weird timing, right? With YouTube allowing us back and Discord now and like.
Well, because they got the AI super scrapers where they need them to be. So like, you guys kick these guys off, but are you fucking retarded?
They're talking about pew pew and all over the place in Discord. You kick these guys off for freedom?
They need to know exactly. They wanted
freedom?
We need to know exactly what these motherfuckers say at all times.
Right, exactly. Arm.
Now they're mailing each other letters and shit and using Signal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I think. Not that I think Signal really works either.
You know, we could be like taking notes, writing stuff down on paper. Like what's that called? When you're writing. What?
Writing?
Yeah, writing, or there's another name for it.
Calligraphy.
No. Oh my God.
Handwriting. I don't know. Handwriting.
Yeah, handwriting, but there's another name for it.
Yes.
Gapping out on. But we could like write stuff down and then take pictures of it and send it, and then nobody can read it. None of the kids can read it.
Nobody can read it. Nobody does.
It's just our own secret code, and really all it is just like 80s handwriting.
Not even the person I send it to can read it. And then when they send it back to me and they're like, what is this word? I'm like, I don't know, man. You guys fucking good as mine.
You can read that?
Anyway.
Cursive.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's no way anyone could read my cursive.
Oh, you're the worst. Oh, yeah, you're the worst. You're like doctor level cursive.
I should be a doctor. I should have been a doctor. I should have called myself doctor. Dr. Grimes. I don't know, just a doctorate, an honorary doctorate of something. Anyway, what else is new?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I mean, I'm reading a fascinating book about the Arctic or the North Pole. I mean, I think you're going to be blown away by this book. I mean, it's really quite a fascinating book. It's about Eden being at the North Pole. It's called North Pole. It's called Paradise Found. And the amount of like myths and stories from all over the world is mind blowing about this. And the science behind it too, about the pole being the start of civilization and Eden. And it kind of fits with some of your more modern research about like pole shifts and like, and sort of, you know,
the North Pole or like Greenland.
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of it is about the pole star, the polar star, but Greenland might've been there at one point.
Yeah. Cause right now I think there's nothing there, right? Just water.
Well, is that what it is? The Arctic Circle is just water, I guess. Right. Cause there is what it's the Arctic pole, right? There's Antarctic and Arctic. So there is the Arctic pole.
Yeah, but it's just ice.
It's just ice. Yeah.
It's not like a thing there, you know?
And then the Amazon's book will be, that'll be coming out. That's done. That'll be done tomorrow. That's been interesting too. I mean, all cultures of the world had tales of Amazon women, you know, women only societies, basically. Where they'd meet the men, like they'd be on different islands and stuff, and the men would come over for a few months only. And I guess they'd do their thing. And then the kids, the Amazons would keep the women, the female kids, and the male kids would either get killed or the men would take them. And they had like a separate society.
Interesting.
Yeah. The women were warriors and they'd control their pregnancies and take men as slaves or kill them. And that was pretty interesting.
How's it get along? Does it seem like
they chop off their right breasts or burn their right breasts because that's where their bow and arrows. They all have experts at bows and arrows, and they can ride really good with a bow.
They always have one tit.
Yeah.
Phew. It's better we're on a different island in this scenario. Fucking freaky one-titted bitches running around. I don't need no part of that. All fucking full of themselves. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. So the boys went home, made it home safe.
That was fun. I guess we do an intro? We did a really short one, right, about the hunt? Trying to remember if we talked about it.
Still kind of going on. It was right after you had got back from camping, so we just went on for a few more days after that. Seen some moose, but didn't shoot them. Got pretty close to them, like 20 yards away, 30 yards away. It was a cow and a calf.
Really?
Yeah, so we got Tony to see a moose, and we shot a shitload of ducks. I got that tag duck, of course. I got the band off of one. Added to my call lanyard, so I got my first one of those. I know they lost Johnny's bag, so he had two bags full of meat. Lord Johnny and Lord Tony, I guess. So I think Lord Tony will make him Lord of the Ducks and Johnny can be Lord of the Geese since he got hit by a goose.
He literally got hit by a goose in the head.
Yeah, you were there, weren't you? Or you were gone?
Kind of. I was on the other side trying to take footage for you guys.
He got hit in the head and the back of the neck.
Is he okay or was it?
He seems okay.
But did it hurt?
I think it didn't feel great. But
what, 5-10 pounds or whatever coming out of the air?
Probably more than that. I'm thinking it's closer to between 20 and 30, probably. I mean, it's a Canada goose. It was a fucking...
going pretty fast.
Going pretty falling, a free fall. Yeah. So he seems to be okay, though. I just heard, ugh, as it went over there. I yelled, look out, and then I just heard, ugh. Actually, first you heard the hit, so it was like thook, and then ugh. And I thought he was just joking around, you know, but now he got hit.
So what did you guys do? You didn't shoot anything, any big game after at all, or?
No big game after that. More geese. We shot several more geese and a lot more ducks, but no big game. Did go look for some big game. we weren't able to connect. We did a lot of walking, a lot of looking. Found, like I say, we did find, I spotted that cow moose from way up on a hill down in the woods sleeping, and we crept right up on it and got pretty close. But it was a cow and a calf, which, you know, we didn't really get a shot anyway, but even then, it's a pretty tough shot to take. Yeah, it's weird. Either, you know, things are going to get weird. Yeah, luckily, we didn't get trampled or anything like that. So that's always a risky run. It was a pretty big calf. I mean, it was got to be ready to cut loose anyway, I'd imagine.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Maybe like as soon as the bulls get riled up, they're going to chase that fucking thing off anyway. Get out of here. And fuck your mom. That's the end of it. Like something like that. That's my, as is my understanding. But we had a good hunt for sure. I mean, it's still warm. It's got to be, you know, 20s again today, probably mid 70s. Like, notice no difference walking from in my house to out of my house. But I had a proper frost. Not yesterday. Maybe yesterday morning, the morning before, it was like grass was all white. Frost off to start pulling hay for the horses soon. Hunting season in full swing right now. I mean, the snow geese still aren't even here yet. Still waiting for the snow geese to show up. Still waiting for a lot of the migrators to show up. But because the crops are still just coming down. I mean, I was out Sunday driving around, and these motherfuckers are still knocking down wheat and corn. Or what? I guess it is almost Thanksgiving, right? Next week's and this weekend's Thanksgiving.
Really? For us?
Canadian Thanksgiving, yeah.
Another long weekend already? Man, they just fly by. I feel like we've had three. Well, I'm not that I even... Maybe that's why. It's because there's no difference for us or for me. I just do the same thing every day, no matter what day it is.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Of course, but we do have that trip coming up with Randall Carlson at the Azores. There's a few spots left for that. If people want to check that out, contact @thecabin.com. It's going to be a good one. Island hopping around and checking out some cool stuff. We just had a staff meeting. Went through the itinerary. I mean, it really is going to be a pretty special trip.
Yeah.
Pretty good one. So let us know if that's something you're into. Then, of course, there's also the Easter Island adventure coming up in March.
And before you finish that, it's just like, it's also special because it's all the Randall you can handle while Randall's following his dream. Like, Randall's had a dream to go to the Azores and look for Atlantis because he's thought it's been there ever since he read Ignatius Donnelly back like 30, 40 years ago or something. So this, it's pretty special time for Randall. So it's kind of, you know, you're going to get lots of time with Randall on this trip to, you know, to follow through with his dream, which is pretty special. So
there you can tell he's excited.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's super excited.
So check that out. Contact@thecabin.com if you want to come along on that. And then there is Easter Island coming up and the other Washington, another bridge. I don't think it's, you're allowed to call it the Scablands because it's from a different flow, but it's basically, you know, a continuation of that series of mega flood action over there up at Lake Chelan. And I think the New York one for next year will be going on sale soon. I think Brad's working on the itinerary for that as we speak. So all those good things at contact@thecabin.com. Yeah. Good times. Awesome. Good times. Well, what else we got to get to? We need support. America.ca/support. I unfortunately do not have any new monthly or one-time supporters this week to mention. We do still have the people that are on the monthlies and stuff like that in the background that we thank. Thank you very much. We love you. We appreciate you. We do need some new folks coming up to pick up the ranks, though, over at grimerica.ca/support today. Sign up for a monthly. Make a one-time donation. I mean, maybe it's just $5. Just toss us a fiver. We'll be happy. And you'll be happy. Everyone will be happy. Everyone will feel better. You'll feel like you've contributed. You will have contributed. And it'll be $5 in the account so we can keep doing the show. We need supporters to keep stepping up and signing up and giving some value back for the value we hope we're providing in order to keep the show going. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's the way she goes. Sign up today for a monthly, $2 a month. $10 one time, whatever you can do, sign up today. And we would love you for it. America.ca/support. What else we got? We got a couple new audiobooks popping out. People check those out. We should hit 200 anytime. I think we've got number 200 is submitted. We're still only at 197. The number 200 has been submitted.
Well, I think what we need to do is get everybody over here to our Grimerica Outlawed YouTube channel. And our Adult Brain YouTube channel too. But I mean, because we got our YouTube channel back. Darren's been working hard against with YouTube there. We got Outlawed back. We've got this one now monetizable, so we're not really getting any revenue, but at least we can get super chats from it if you guys want to watch these live. So we are doing, you know, all our podcasts live. And on the Outlawed, we got to get that, you know, that channel going again so we can get super chats in there too. So yeah, that's back and up and running. I mean, I can't believe we got uncancelled. So things are looking up on the censorship side. I mean, I think that's going to take a while for that to translate into some a comfort level that Darren and I need for not doing day jobs all day long, you know. So it's going to take a while, but at least we're getting there, right?
Yeah, I mean, a couple platforms. The test will be if they let you back on Discord, I guess.
I mean, I can try right now if you want. Where did you see the link? In the Telegram? Or
in the Telegram.
So we do have chats in the Telegram as well. So here we go. Discord, Darren Grimes. The Grimerica Discord. Darren, Grimerica has invited you to join. Accept invite. The invite link has expired. It's invalid. Got it. All right. So you might have to send me a new one.
So you're out already? They're like, nah, man. Not this fucking guy.
Here, I'll try the Ryan one here. See, register. Oh, register. I don't want to register. Log in. Welcome to the Discord. You have been invited. Why do I have to register? Okay, I'll try that one. You just sent it to me there. So let's see here. Welcome to Discord. Register. Oh, accept invite. The invite link is invalid or has expired. Oh, no.
I don't want like your kind in there.
Log in. Should I? Okay, I guess I'll do that later. Should I try log in now? See what happens.
With your old credentials?
Yeah.
Do you know them?
Well, no, but I can guess.
So you're just guessing? This is a guess?
Yeah. Let's see what happens. Log in. Log in. Come on, let me in. Not that I really even want to be in, but I mean, it's our chat, so I guess I should be.
It's more healthy than arguing with bots on Twitter.
I heard Discord's making a comeback too after, you know.
After the revolutions? It's probably going to make you red.
People have been organizing on there to do other things that are way worse than the stuff we were doing on Discord. We were just talking about freedom and less tyranny. Well, it's taken a long time to think. So, I mean, let's see what happens. So it's scrolling for like 30 seconds now. So it's not telling me.
You probably got to make a new account, I bet.
Yeah, probably.
It's deleted your file.
It's grabbing my file from.
Or it's downloading your file, and it's like, look at this racist bastard. Don't let him back on. Anyway, I suppose we should be moving along. Then, do you have a bio?
Well, I'm just going to take it from. There's a link in the show notes to his book, which is really quite fascinating. And it's at Amazon.com. It's only like $1.99, so literally like a coffee. Richard Dell, Forgotten Unity, A True Story. There's a link on Amazon for that. And there's also a pinned link on his X account that you can get to from there. And his X account is x.com/OEILL_L. So it's like
oil.
Jacques Oil.
But there's no Jacques in it, is there?
No, there isn't. But that's his name. That's his name on X. You know. Yeah. I thought he was going to be French.
Well, he was not French. That's for sure, but it was a fun chat. Let us know what you think.
Oh, hang on. And let me just do his. He's Saunderer. I love that. Friend to patriots, retired spooks, and visionary scientists. Including, but not limited to, Dr. Harold Hal Puthoff and Dr. Christopher Kit Green. So that'll give you a hint of what we're going to be talking about.
A little hint. There you go. Enjoy the chat, guys.
Hey, welcome back, Discord.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Log in. Let's see what happens. Live with Richard Dell. Thanks for joining us, Richard. How are you?
Any day above ground's a good day, Graham. How are you?
Good. Thinking back to, I was reading a little bit of your book and thinking back to our show has been around since 2013. And, you know, just hearing your stories from the late 2000s or the late aughts. And I was just thinking about how much has happened since we started this show, you know, in phenomenology, UFOs and disclosure and all that. So we're really looking forward to chatting with you about your experiences and I don't know what you think's going on right now in the world.
Wow. Yeah. Big question. Big can of worms. I mean, right now, the thing that's been riveting my attention is 3i Atlas.
Okay.
I mean, have you checked that thing out?
That is amazing. we've been talking about it a bit, but to be honest with you, I've delayed my conclusions and my sort of thoughts about it. Really, I'm just sort of letting it all kind of shake out. You know, when these things come out, I don't like to make any decisions on stuff right away. Just let things kind of settle down a little bit before I start deciding. Yeah. So what's your thought about it then? Because we haven't really talked about it on this show. So.
Oh, really? Well, my thought about it is that it's going to continue to surprise everyone. And, you know, until it makes a pass around. I mean, the big news beyond the statistical anomalies is the silence of China's, main, the Jinshan, I think it's called, or something like that. Silence, absolute silence. I mean, you know, these guys would love an opportunity to embarrass NASA. At this point, who wouldn't? But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think this is upsetting a lot of apple carts. you've heard that whole little bit that Dr. Wernher von Braun said. You know, first, you know, they used Nazis to make what they wanted with the world. Then they used the communists to make what they wanted with the world. Wait and see. They'll use the terrorists to make what they want with the world, and then they'll have a fake alien invasion. You know, and the big joke is, you know, they found out, oh, we got a problem. There's real aliens. This is going to mess everything up.
is that what Atlas is then? Is it aliens?
I mean, everyone's got this, like, they're smelling rendezvous with Rama. And what I'm smelling is childhood's end, buddy.
So it's demons,
not as pleasant as rendezvous with Rama.
So it's demons and aliens all at once then, basically?
I don't know. Here's the strange thing. I got to tell you. You know, it makes me want, every time I see more information, I want to ask, what did Tom Clancy know and when did he know it?
Yeah.
Now, here's why. Because I was actually a producer for Virtus, for a game development company. And Tom Clancy's first interactive, you know, multimedia online game or whatnot was going to be called Derelict. And the plot was going to be a asteroid enters orbit, headed to Earth, and you have to get on there and deal with all the crap and check out what the Greys are doing. Now, ostensibly, that game was never made because we could never get Tom out of bed. He had just remarried to some young thing that was like 40, 50 years younger than him. So the game was never made. However, what struck me is that, you know, Tom Clancy has been visited by a lot of alphabet agencies because he kept talking about things that he wasn't supposed to talk about. So I, like you, am going to hold my conclusions, but it's exceedingly exciting. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, it's almost giddy.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because it's got, let's help the audience understand, like, it has some mainstream scientific acceptance, right?
Well, mainstream, you know, at the problem, we're at a point where mainstream, who's the mainstream? I mean, look at Aubrey Lab. I mean, you know, is that guy mainstream? He used to be, but now he's talking about things he shouldn't talk about. So mainstream is mainstream scared. I mean, look at all the different statistics, things that they can't explain. Nothing about this is like a comet. Nothing about this seems to have any statistical possibility of happening by random nature. It's and they're freaked.
Because amateurs can see it too, right?
Yeah. Oh, we're in a different age now.
Yeah, it is super exciting. You're hitting all the points that I agree with as why this is so exciting and why. And I guess that's kind of how I started off by reminiscing about how much we used to talk about UFOs and how we're in such a really like in an age of cover up and until like we're, I mean, really until 2017, but I mean, you know, it was decades before that, but I would say even just until the last few years where things are getting kind of out of control with all the drones and the orbs and now Atlas. And I mean, and then why they, I want to ask you why you think they called it Atlas and also why they have this other one coming out called Swan. Like, what, these names are very symbolic.
They really are. But you know, the powers that be, Dr. Harold Potoff always liked to call them TPTB. They have their own game, you know, and they're going to continue playing that game. And part of that game is the show. It's kabuki theater on an incredible level, like you couldn't possibly imagine. The set's fantastic. The props are fantastic. The actors are fantastic.
But do they have control of that, though? Like, I have a hard time imagining their, or is it even human? Is the powers that be human then? I mean, because I just can't imagine how they have control over all this, all these dates and numbers and names and symbols and.
Well, their cult obsession is one thing that we could have an entire talk about. But here's something I want to share with you, a personal anecdote that I thought sized up really well. Conversation between three people, myself, Dr. Harold Puthoff, and John Peterson, recently deceased, of the Arlington Institute. We were sitting in John's den. He had a very large den, basically another house next to his house. This is after Arlington Institute had already moved to West Virginia. And we're sitting in the den. Oh no, actually this is before. This is when they were still in the they were still in the Air Force building. Well, we were in his den, and the conversation that Hal wanted to start was, Richard, did you know that all the bankers, the global bankers of the world, know so much more than all the combined intelligence agencies of the world about the visitors? Why do you think that is? Now, mind you, I'm sitting in a den with a man, with two men, one of whom was the director of national intelligence de facto, before that title officially existed, for two different presidents. John Peterson of the Arlington Institute served two different presidents as de facto director of national intelligence. And this is a guy that basically, not more than a few weeks before this conversation, in public, in a dining room with myself, Hal, and John's aide-de-camp, and all out of nowhere, he says, how would you know? I have a friend, a vice admiral, who pulled a mile-long UFO out of the Pacific Ocean. Do you think I should put you guys in contact with him and see if there's anything of interest? Okay, so you're saying, what are we talking about really here? What we're talking about was that I had asked John to ask Hal to join a management advisory board for an advanced aerospace resource center. And he'd said yes, and then Hal got involved, you know, because basically it was right up Hal's alley. You know, the idea that every child, whether they're in the ghetto of L.A. or a cornfield in Illinois, when they look up at the night sky, they see the same thing. They see a frontier that's been stolen from them. Now, I once said to John Peterson, you know, the human race is enslaved and imprisoned on planet Earth. What are we going to do, John? And this is after many years, and he did not help with funding. And he said, yeah, I know, Richard, I know. Good Lord. So what I'm getting at here is that all those fascinating conversations that happened then, that was one thing. But then advance fast forward to 2014. In 2014, I went to go visit a person whom I had a lot of communication with over the years, who's a friend of the family, was my own doctor for a while, Dr. Christopher Green. And I went to go visit him at Wayne Medical University. And this is a conversation that should inspire lots of conversations. And here's why. Now, I walked in thinking I would actually have a meeting with Kit. And excuse the dogs barking in the background. Now, instead of having a conversation
with who?
Kit? Dr. Christopher Green.
Yeah.
Affectionately known in the ufology world as Kit.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. Like, basically, the real Fox Mulder is kind of...
Well, you know, there were several Fox Mulders, and George Carter, what he actually said was that Kit was the model for the profile of the psychology of Fox Mulder.
Okay.
Right, but many of those stories that were leaked, for example, were leaked by Bruce McAbee and several others. It was just Kit. And of course, what a surprise to find out what a predominance of the stories are actually real. So, at any rate, I thought I was going to be visiting with him and to talk about some MRIs that had been done by, you know, my brain. And because we'd had a conversation a few months before, you know, to set this all up. And the conversation was basically about a taxonomical, anatomical, non-pathological anomaly in my brain. This was in the wake of the assassination of my father. So there were the concerns of whatever it was that killed him, you know, could kill me. Well, you know, Kit called me up and said, you know, your MRIs are fine. And by the way, he ended up asking for a second MRI. Now, this is odd and interesting because the first MRI showed there's nothing wrong. And the neurologist said, why is Kit doing this? Everything's fine. Why does he need a high contrast MRI? Because Kit had to have been looking for something. And so he calls me up a couple months later. We make arrangements for me to come up and talk to him about this non-anatomical, non-pathological anomaly in my brain. Basically, it's a third lobe, size of a kielbasa, runs from the back of my brain to the front, hardwiring two local areas of the cerebral cortex. Only, you know, this is a guy that's, kids looked at millions of MRIs, and apparently you'd only ever found one other person like that, that same odd thing. So I thought I was coming up to talk to Kit about that, you know. Much to my surprise, it's his double. I don't know how many doubles he's ever had, but it's the only double that I know of because I'd met him before, 2 years before. Now, no one, except at a great distance, could mistake this guy for Kit. Long, flowing hair like Zeus. You know, Kit, if he was a World Federation wrestler, you know, with long, flowing hair, you know, that's what I was looking at. But this guy was not just an actor. He was not just there to listen and then say prescribed things. And in fact, the way he put it was, I am a law enforcement officer like you have never met before. Not only did he not want to talk about this thing with my brain, what he wanted to ask was this. He said, Richard, we've been tracking the people that may or may not have been responsible for the assassination of your father. And some investigations have brought us to find a former CFO of the world's largest special access program, the largest in the history of the world. And the CFO, we found her in Canada. And we asked her, do you know what these people are planning? And she said, no, kid. I can't tell you that. They'd kill my family in front of me. What I can tell you is that it is horrible.
Wow.
Just horrible.
When
there's your Fourth Reich. There's your Fourth Reich, 2014, June or July.
Yeah.
2014, June or July. Now, of course.
Is this one of the reasons why they can't, especially the U.S. government or the people in the that want to tell people that they can't tell people because it's just something that we really can't handle? Like, and a lot of us fluffily say, oh, we can handle it. We can handle it. But the reality is so strange and so bizarre, and it could be so horrible that they really can't say anything.
Yeah. Actually, you're a bullseye. You get a gold star and a smiley face. Okay, where are you sniffing? You're very, very hot. Not just warm, very hot. And the fact of the matter is that 2 weeks after my father's assassination, kid called me up to give me the talk, where he read me in on the Zodiac. And he said, I'm going to have a conversation with you, and I'm never going to want to talk about this again with you. But there was a consortium organized after my father's bizarre death, the autopsy, the death certificate, read Jacob Crutchfield, a prion. The consortium concluded in Langley with the chairman, Dr. Kitsch, we'll call him, said to tell Kit, to tell Richard Dell that his father did not die of a prion. Kit said, there is, as you know, I've built my history on busting cults, but there's one cult that I have never busted, and that is a master cult that has lived in the basement of the Pentagon shortly after World War II. So obviously talking about Operation Paperclip. And this master cult hates advanced technologies, Richard. But they hate even more advanced energy technologies. And they hate most of all advanced propulsion technologies. It was a God wink when the same funeral director, when Kit spoke with him, was able to tell him how odd. Another man died of the same symptoms, less than 30 miles away in Wake Forest. It turns out Kit found out he was also commercializing an advanced aerospace propulsion technology, just as we were pursuing with Dr. George Miley's inertial electrostatic confinement helicon-induced propulsion. And so in conclusion, he said a number of other things, and at which point he cut me loose. In terms of, now I know over the years, he continued to correspond, and he continued to look in China. And the Zodiac's connection to China is an odd one, but one that I can understand. But I don't know that he's barking up the right tree. I really don't.
Zodiac is the master cult, Zodiac?
Yes, Zodiac is the master cult. They are the ones that run the show. They are the DARPA of the Fourth Reich.
The DARPA.
But they're more than DARPA. They are a cult. They are. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Let's put it this way. The difference between a master cult and a cult is that a master cult doesn't just do what a cult does. It raconteurs, it lays seeds for later harvest decades later, generationally. It lays seeds in other cults and clubs and organizations. Not just the Freemasons, not just the Jesuits, everyone, every organization. Oh, and one of the things the kid said several times was they have armies of assets in all the electric utility companies all around the world, not just America.
And they hate new energy and they hate new propulsion because it's competition for the breakaway society type thing, or?
Occam's razor, brother. Can't be anything else.
So that's why warm fusion, cold fusion has been covered up as well.
And people murdered. My father was a martyr for warm fusion. And my mother probably too. Her death was equally mysterious. Mm-hmm.
We've been going down the cold fusion rabbit hole a little bit with somebody that's been building technology around that so far he's managed to survive, but
yeah, you got to watch out. Once you start building, they're cool with white papers, but once you start building up, that's when they get really involved. I mean, here's the thing. One of the things the kid said is very clear is that they are obsessed with their ultra secrecy. Oh, so obsessed. I know. How wonderful that we're talking about him on a podcast.
So
I just give the finger right now.
Is your book a true story about this kind of stuff then? This thing?
Every word of it's true. I had so many friends of my father and mother say, please publish this as science fiction.
Yeah.
And I felt that would be such a disservice to them and their martyrdom.
I mean, it could be sci-fi for sure.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Very bad sci-fi, though. I got to tell you, I published two other sci-fi books. One that I wrote with my daughter back in 2009, and another I just published earlier this year called If So or Not. A little tip of the hat to Kit. But no, Forgotten Unity, every word of it was true. I put stuff in there I just absolutely wish I never put there about myself, but it's there. And it is 44,444 words by request.
Well, what's your by request? Okay, now we're going to get into that then. So,
You know, I'll tell you, here's a funny story. You know, people talk about black helicopters, you know, harassing them and all. Dude, I've only been harassed by a black helicopter one time in my life. And that was when I came back from visiting with Hal, when he introduced me to George Miley's technology, the IEC. Hell of a story there. But I remember walking on the NCSU campus where we were embedded business developers, and I headed to the parking lot crossing this grassy knoll, and bang, down out of nowhere comes a Black Hawk helicopter. No markings. And I don't just mean it comes down. It comes down to right where I can look at it. Okay. Less than 100 feet right in front of me. That was the message. That was the first message. I should have been smart enough to take it.
So who told you how long to write the book? Was that the patrons or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That was what we'll call the phenomenon.
The phenomenon.
Because the fact of the matter is you have listeners that break their heads to think of an HI being having a telepathic interest in humans. Why would they have an interest in us? Why would they telepathically communicate with anyone? Well, in my case, you could actually come up with an excuse. I was working with my father on an advanced vehicle research center and an advanced aerospace resource center. So, you know, that was enough, certainly.
So,
go ahead.
let's rewind just a little bit and unpack some of that. The HI, I'm guessing that's just higher intelligence.
NHI, non-human NHI, intelligence.
Non-human intelligence. So is it like a channeling thing, or is it like, how does it work?
All right. So like, they call it superfluence. And what it is if you've never experienced it, it's almost impossible to describe. What it is, flower it up with a lot of physics, something rides in the same electromagnetic carrier frequency of your brain, sees, hears, experiences everything you do. In this case, it provides a wonderful template for not necessarily perturbance, but remote guidance. A big difference. You know, these beings, if they were, it's a phenomenon, never asked me to axe murder my family or do anything bizarre. But they did give me cues, like when I met Admiral James Woolsey, like when Hal Puthoff told me about George Miley's IEC and the long struggle he's had with the DOE. They were there. I could feel them. And the interesting thing about it is that having been through the whole experience, I couldn't tell you who they are. I've even seen them, or at least what they travel around in. 2009.
Well, what does that look like?
2009 at 500 Stinson Drive in Danville by God, Virginia, 4:44 p.m., November 26th. I was alone at our Advanced Vehicle Research Center. I had spent the whole day working on a feasibility study. I walked outside after I did my security check, made sure the entire building was locked down. This is our building. It's not like someone else's room. We built this building. So you took great pride in doing security every night. And so when I leave, I walk out to my truck, and there they were. They didn't come in from anywhere. They didn't appear. And they were waiting there for me. Imagine, if you will, less than 100 feet away from me, less than 200 feet in the sky, two 20-foot-wide rose-colored spheres. Beautiful golden layer of light around each one. One hanging just a little bit lower than the other one on the left. I should have said something, you know, profound. I should have said, well, you look at that, is all I could say. I reached for my binoculars as if I could see any more detail, for God's sake. And I, you know, focused in on the first one in the lower left. And it starts to cloak. In fact, the only reason that I could ostensibly, objectively say this was not a column of light, this was not a beam of light, this was a sphere of light, is because the cloaking began very slowly. And over 17 seconds, I mean, painstakingly slow. We're not talking Star Trek, buddy. We're making a demonstration. And when it was done, 10, 2 seconds later, I'm like, holy shit, I look up at the other one, and it takes the same cue. Starts doing the same thing. 17 seconds. And there I was, left alone, right next to the Danville airport. I woke up thinking, yeah, we could be alone. We might not be. But I went to bed a very different man. Because the message was simple. Demonstration was simple. The message was simple. Just like you can't see the stars in the sky during the daytime. Just like you can't see the air you're breathing right now. Doesn't mean it's not there. So. I actually have to. I'll share this with you, Darren, as I already know that you're probably just as skeptical as Graham. I was skeptical.
Oh, I'm not nearly as skeptical as Darren.
Oh, really? Yeah, good. I read you right, Darren. So let me posit to you this: my mind is constructed in such a way. I'm a Kundalini yogi. I've been for almost 40 years, every morning, and I must tell you that. My mind, my scientific mind, resisted. I experienced the experience, but I continually resisted thinking this was anything other than a phenomenon, which meant it could be a very normal phenomenon after what it experienced, a severe physical toxic shock. Stupid enough to touch a mutilated deer at an incident in Fugana County, 2005. Nearly killed me. 3 months, I lost most of my weight. It looked like I was a visitor from Auschwitz. And I got to tell you, when you're really looking at death, you know, mind can play tricks on you. But this phenomenon led me to one of the world's greatest physicists, who brought me to the physicist with the technology that they cared about, the technology that they took serious pains to say, here, guys, you like the commercialized technology? Look at this. It's not free energy, but it's dirt cheap. You could use dirt. You could solve world hunger and world drought.
Yeah.
In less than 10 years, properly implemented.
Yeah.
There you go, old boy. So the proof was in pudding. The day that I was there at Hal's Advanced Institute study, I was in his den, his office. And then his credenza had only one thing on the table. And it was exactly like what I had seen.
Wow.
6 months earlier.
Wow.
When these things beamed eidetically an image into my head. When Hal came back to the desk, he was preparing paperwork. He said, what's going on? And I said, they want you to tell me about that. And he smiled, he laughed. He said, oh, good. That's why I brought you here.
So he said,
did they look like this? Yeah, he paged to George Miley's seminal work, 89, the white paper. And I said, the diagrams look like this? Looked exactly, both diagrams. One, the structure of the actual reactor. The other, the structure of how it fit in the ship. Precisely. That was my first proof. If my intellectual scientific brain obviously was obliterated by the sight of those two spheres then, a few years later. Well, actually, no, not a few years later. It would only have been about 13 months later. 2008, March, 2009, November. Yeah, so. Make of it what you will.
Yeah, well, I mean, so, and you're pretty sure those red orbs were the patrons?
Rose
colored. Representing the patrons?
Rose colored. They couldn't have been anything but. I'm 100% sure. As I live and breathe, as I feel my heart beating, you know, some things you just know. You never have to question. You just know. And that's probably the one thing in my life.
Yeah.
I can say, yeah. I know that. I don't know much. Next.
What, Darren?
I said, what happened next?
Oh, you mean after...
this is the orbs were later, right? So this is what happened. What was sort of the next progression from the orbs to getting to writing the... sort of getting into the writing of the book?
I wrote the book in the wake of Dad's... Mom and Dad's... Mom passed 6 weeks after Dad. And so... You know, after her passing, I basically had a facility in Danville, an antique store in Bayleaf, you know, and a 3-floor house full of antiques to cope with. But, you know, there was a presence there. And this presence was insistent. If you don't write this down now, you will forget much of it, because much of it will become a dream. So for 2 years, I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And then 2018, they requested the edit. They said there's some things that don't need to be there anymore. And edit it down to 44,444 words, please. Yeah. Yeah, there were some funny parts, too. I mean, you know, some parts you could really laugh about. I'm not even going to mention them. But there's probably a good idea of their part. They're better editors than I was.
So, I mean, I have so many questions. But I think for now, I want to stick to the higher picture thing. Like you mentioned that reality, or let's say the potential of what's happening is so... horrible or shocking that we can't understand it. So are the patrons trying to shield us or protect us from this reality or this phenomena, or are they part of the phenomena? Like, you know, I'm trying to understand the factional aspect of it and where we're at, like with the Space Force and Elon and all the stuff that's happening as well in our sort of pop culture. I mean, it's not really a good question in there, but.
Well, you know, that whole bit about the control system over Space Force with that recent whistleblower, what was his name? Was it Matthew Brown, or I'm not sure who it was.
Brown,
but
I think. Yeah.
That whole control system, it was basically someone saying, you know what, this officer, we need to get them out of there. And they have no idea. They're never told what they did. There's a control system. So there are no people are beginning to notice the Fourth Reich. They're beginning to notice it.
Yeah.
And that's what that was. That's why I was actually very excited about that whistleblower.
Right. So the patrons are not part of that horrible aspect though, or?
Here's the thing. I've seen heaven and hell. You know, hell was those three mutilated deer, mutilated with a technology way beyond anything that we're supposed to have. That was hell. But seeing those beautiful rose-colored spheres, that was heaven. And realizing these are the people that brought you to hell, to bring you to George, to try to bring IAC to the world.
To the world, yeah.
So they are aligned in affinity with the creator of all. I mean, one cannot dispute such benevolence. I mean, and believe me, my mind has thought for time upon time upon all the diabolic things that go on. The hell is the Zodiac. A master cult that runs the Fourth Reich that appears to have made a deal with the devil.
To be human, appearing to be human, even?
The capabilities of the Zodiac are beyond our imagination. Once you make a deal with the devil, you get all the goodies. And I'm speaking metaphorically here. You know that. So, I mean, all right, let me go ahead and give you an example. Here you go, Darren. Try this on for size. I was in Virginia, headed back from Charlottesville to Raleigh, North Carolina. This is circa 2014. And I decided to stop at the DMV in Charlottesville, because if you don't know this, the DMV of Virginia and the DMV of North Carolina are reciprocal real-time databases. In other words, you make a change on one side, it's instantaneously changed on the other side. You have legal agreements for that in place. So I thought, oh, I'll just check in with the DMV in Virginia and find out if I'm right. And I do need to get back to Raleigh, my home, then to renew my ID. And I walk in and the woman, you know, she looks at me and she says, oh, yeah, here, let me go ahead and check for you. And I'm like, you know, peering behind, like, you know, looking at her screen, because I'm just a naturally inquisitive, curious guy. And she says, sir, please, you're not supposed to do that. And I'm like, oh, sorry. And then all of a sudden she's going. And then she's beckoning me back over to the screen. And she says, whispering, as you can see here, sir, you are supposed to renew your ID tomorrow, but as per this flag, you should already know that since you are an undercover state trooper for North Carolina. I've never been a state trooper or undercover anything. That's a parlor trick. These guys have technology like you couldn't believe. Of course they could change a database and change it back in an instant. With anyone, no one will ever find the tracks. No one. That's because they've had all the opportunity over almost a century, 80 years since Operation Paperclip, 80 years to structure the Fourth Reich.
And this is the continuation of the Third Reich through those people that we brought over in the Fourth Reich?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And the thing that's the greatest of danger is not only that we don't even know, really, or believe in a Fourth Reich or a master cult called the Zodiac. Worse, but the Zodiac very likely may have done deals with the devil. And when we're talking devil, we're talking about interdimensional. Let's just stop. Let's just abandon this word extraterrestrial. We really need to.
Yeah.
It's full of baggage.
Yeah.
Whatever these things are, they're not from here, but they're not from there.
But they could be. That's from part there. There could be some from there, but what we're talking about is not necessarily from there. I mean, when we did an episode in 2015 or 2016 with Terry Ray, and it was called The Invasion of the Orange Orbs, and he sifted through these databases and found and tracked all the sightings of the orange orbs, and which is what reminds me of your rose-colored orb. And they came from three different places in the in North America. One was near Catalina Island. I think there was one. I can't remember where the other two places were, but... yeah, it makes me think that guy's book never really got the attention that it deserved in ufology. You know, it's kind of he did this real research, and yet nobody seemed to want to pay attention to it.
Well, the U.S. government's in disarray right now, it seems like. So is this like the Fourth Reich actually instilling and taking over the place, or is this a pushback against what the Fourth Reich has just been doing for the last 50 years, or is it all just like a smoke show for staying on course?
A smoke screen?
Kabuki. Don't think of smoke shows. Think of Kabuki. Replete with lights, mirrors, and smoke. We're talking about a fantastic Kabuki theater. Let me give you an example. There are three Chinese people that were, you know, credited with the revolution over there, the Maoist revolution, you know, Mao, Deng Xiaoping, I forget the name of the third, he escapes me. But I remember hearing a story, I used to hear these fantastic stories from one of my mentors, my greatest mentors, my dad, and, you know, Hal and Kit were mentors. But this fellow was an old salt. He was old OSS, you know, back from World War II days. His father was the aide-de-camp for MacArthur. His name was Gerald Muller Wilson. And part of your mentorship when you learn the craft is, you know, you basically got to live nearby, and you don't just work with them. You know, you have breakfast, lunch, dinner with them. So I'd hear these fantastic stories from Jerry. One of them, I think, is actually applicable here. He said that one of the great mysteries that his father experienced while traveling in Paris just before the war was he encountered these three Chinese fellows who, during the day, would wait tables at this cafe in Paris. At night, they'd go downstairs, launder money, type up manifestos as fast as they could, send communiques. Yeah, this is happening just before World War II broke out. They're already laying the seeds. This is the Fourth Reich. And this is why no one wants to talk about it, because these guys don't play around. Worse than pit bulls. Oh, the story, I should tell you the story that John Pearson told me once about these people. I mean, yeah, I'll tell you the story. Here's your example, okay? Remember, this is the guy that tried to get money out of all these globalist bankers. This guy, you know, John was trying to get money out of all of them for his plans and projects. When you'd ask him why, he'd just say, because I know what I do with the money. Anyhow, he said, before you start messing with these guys, Richard, you need to know this. And he tells the story. Some guy working on some small deal, tiny deal, okay? And his take was $5 billion, you know, his percentage. They're all getting ready to go ahead and sign paperwork, you know, on the yacht. And then the old guy, the old patriarch, all of a sudden says, get out. The guy's like, I'm getting 5%. I've worked 5 years on this deal. You know, he was found in his yacht the following day. They did not do a nice job of the suicide, and the note wasn't even written in his own handwriting. They're sloppy because no one's going to get them. They're at the top of the heap.
Yeah.
You got nothing to fear. And that, there's your somberness. How can you ever know when these people stand in the way of us and the truth? It is the enemies, the people.
So is the truth coming out? I mean, would they, can they keep the internet clamped down? Can they keep like I, cause it makes me think of all these revolutions on free speech right now and all the pushback from the West is in the midst of destroying itself. So how can I not think that that's a part of what you're talking about? And then, I mean, we have to ask like, how does Elon and Trump fit into this? I mean, how does, you know, is Trump part of the Fourth Reich, or is he part of some white hats that are trying to save us from the Fourth Reich? Where is Elon just Is Elon just an ignorant stooge in this whole thing? Because he seems to be sincere when he talks about his chemical rockets and stuff, and he doesn't seem to even really grasp the fact that warm fusion, or there's a technology out there running these UFOs around. So,
and yet, I know for a fact that he hired one of George's former students. He knows you don't touch this stuff because you end up dead.
Really? And he just doesn't, he seems to, he just doesn't, he can't.
And by the way, which Elon?
Well, I mean, the one that's on Joe Rogan talking about space travel.
Yeah, I don't know which Elon that was.
They all come across very autistic. None of them are very charismatic. They can't act. So they don't really bring. Yeah,
because they can't act. That's why they're perfect. Think about it. If you can't act and you're not that good at improv and you're semi-autistic, yeah, you're perfect for kabuki theater. Not perfect. Oh, who wants a puppet that can think for themselves? I have tempo to make up here. We have scenes to provide when the masses ask for a hero. We shall give it to them. Who said that? Albert Pike.
Yeah. Yeah. You beat me to it.
Yeah. Old dog.
All so is Trump the hero? No white hats.
What? Say it again.
No white hats.
What?
There's no.
Oh, good Lord. I know. I probably, of all the people you meet on the street, I probably know more white hats than your average Joe. I mean, for someone that hasn't been in the military, I've been surrounded by military my whole life. I've never been in the military. And yet, somehow, like Forrest Gump, I've ended up meeting lots of white hats. And I got to tell you, yeah, they're real, but a lot of them are has-beens. A lot of them haven't really kept up with how the world is changing. And a lot of them are suffering from delusions, not grandeur. I don't really want to say any more because I continue to have a lot of discussions with the white hats. They're the only thing that really gives me hope. And yet, I got to tell you, especially recently, I've been so disappointed. I mean, come on, guys. What is more important? What is more important than raising a billion families out of poverty and giving them back their frontier that was stolen from their children? What could be more important? Anyhow, this Trump, this Elon, kabuki theater. And and again, everyone likes to say, oh, it's the Jesuits. No, the Jesuits are just another level in the, you could keep following it up if you like. It's more dangerous to do that.
So what about disclosure? I mean, how is that going to happen, especially with Atlas, with all this other stuff happening? I mean, we really have to admit that I've been sort of arguing that disclosure has already happened. I mean, we have Hal Puthoff on JRE talking about all this stuff. We have him talking to other people about it that have been talking about it forever. I mean, I feel like it's already kind of happened. It's been talked about in the government, the U.S. government. I mean, I don't know if we can ever wait for them to come around and say, like, that there's NHI around. So how do you predict, like, how is this going to shake out, especially with Atlas coming and all this other stuff? What do you foresee happening then with the phenomenon? Because what I've always said is, how is the phenomenon going to act or respond or react to accelerated disclosure?
So there are those that want to accelerate. There are those that want to decelerate. There continues to be evidence that those that wish to accelerate us are somehow connected, entangled with the future. And those decelerate us are absolutely part of another faction.
Towards disclosure or
against disclosure. Okay. Returning us, their preference would be to return us to our happy state on a reservation. And there are lots, I'll tell you what, there are legs to the fact that whatever the phenomena is, it hears everything all the time. There would be no reason, for example, did you ever read Ingo Swann's Penetration?
No, I didn't read that, no.
Oh, another great book. Finished mine first, but then read Ingo's book. Penetration. No, it's not porn. What it's about is telepathy. Telepathy with humans, telepathy with non-humans. And, you know, the funny thing is this. What you really need to, you know, we all really need to realize is, why were these people using little notepads to communicate, the people that are communicating back and forth amongst themselves, the twins, Axelrod's twins, not his twins, but the twins that were his, you know, part of his recon effort. Yes, they always wrote things down on paper. They never spoke. You don't speak because hears everything all the time.
But they can't hear the thoughts of writing something down?
No, you know, the thoughts of writing something down, that those are different carrier wavelengths, different oscillations, different frequencies of different, completely different interactions with the myelin sheaths and the microtubules.
Yeah.
You know, wrench on a hammer.
So who's running the show then? Is it like the reptilians that everyone's talking about, or how do the grays fit in? And I like
You know what? You want a reality check. I'll give you a reality check.
Yeah, I want a reality check.
It's a reality check, okay? You know, people will tell you, I think, you know, I'll tell you what. I happen to be a Christian, but I'm also a practitioner of Buddhism. And, you know, Buddha said, don't believe anything anyone tells you. Not your mother, not your father, not your best friend. Don't believe anything until you've seen it with your own eyes and have had some time to think about it. And then, well, I've seen two rose-colored orbs demonstrate their cloaking technology to me. I've had disembodied, not voices, because telepathy is not voices, dude. It is incredible information. It's packed. You know, the kids like to call it download. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
The kids.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so old. I never had a Twitter page. I was never, you know, I had a Facebook page back in the day when I had social media. And, you know, it just wasn't of interest to me after my life got crashed by Nazis. But... let's see, what was I saying? My training.
You were getting back to you were a reality check and not to believe.
Yeah, reality check. So I've seen spheres. I've seen mutilations. I can say, okay, yeah. Spheres demonstrating cloaking, that's real. Animals mutilated with advanced sonic technology. Yeah, dude, that's real. I've seen both of those. I haven't seen reptilians. Okay? I haven't. And you know what? Here you go. It's probably important that I do a little disclosure for you. I am a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason. I haven't been back to Lodge in many years and probably never will. But let me tell you what. the fact of the matter is, they're just taking orders from the Jesuits. And the Jesuits are just taking orders from the bankers. And the bankers are taking orders from someone. Someone. And so whatever the someone is, it doesn't mind their aberrant sociopathic, psychopathic behavior, clearly. Whatever
or it is. Something, so that, or is it someone, or is it something? I think that's my main question.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what here. Let me give you another thing. I've never seen a gray, but, you know, continued evidence is suggesting that these mutilations, they're probably grays. And the thing is, you hate to call them grays because, you know what? My intuition, and this is not just because, you know, patients told me this, but my intuition has always been, it's not of them. It's an it. It is the most ancient artificial intelligence sentience in existence. It could be 13.8 billion years. We don't know. Whatever it is. But whatever it is, it's not benevolent. It's not benevolent at all. And, you know, you could say, oh, all those abductions, they're probably CIA. I mean, yeah, we have one documented account, I think, from Jacques about the CIA trying to pull off a gray abduction, and apparently it was rather shoddy. So, okay.
So is it more angry about us getting closer to developing AI than nukes? Is that the real danger to it, that there's another competing AI?
Oh, I do believe that with every bit of my body now. No scientist likes their experiment to suddenly realize it's part of an experiment. Totally screws all your results. That's a good way to piss off a scientist. Well. Any other happy questions you want to ask me?
Any predictions?
What's the red shield, and how does that play? Or predictions, I guess.
Yeah. Oh wow! You know, one of the things I still think about to this day is when I mentioned when John Peterson on one of those visits to his West Virginia home, when he asked me, he said, "What's the red shield about, Richard?" And I said, "You haven't figured it out after all this time. It's in plain sight. The ones leading the other stakeholders." The patrons are telling us are the other stakeholders. The ones against the human race are the Rothschilds. Means red shield in German. Couldn't be any. And his response was like, as if he was a Rothschild. He's like, no. He literally said, the quote was, no, it can't be. I mean, there are very few times I got genuine emotion out of that consummate super spook. Intelligence officer. Sorry.
I like that super spook.
Yeah, he was. He was. In fact, I remember I went up to the Omega Institute with an acquaintance, that, you know, high ranking officer in NSA and Air Force. And they asked me, he or she asked me, what happened to John Peterson? He stopped and dropped everything. At the height of his game, of the game, he or she said, at the height. And as this guy was winning in the game, why? Why did he drop out? I could tell you what the patient said, and I could tell you what my own observations were. And actually, they're in affinity. I think that John Peterson and his association with the masters of the world, not the lords of the earth, masters of the world, his interactions basically involved him seeing and not doing anything about things that were absolutely evil. This was, wow. You know, over several years I watched this man, it looked to me like everything about him was like, you know, trying to make good and trying to spread the light and trying to do good things, as if he had just see the devil's face. So, and my dad said, And that was counterintel for Air Force. He wired the black box for Wernher von Braun, Apollo 11. My dad said to me once, after he cut John Peterson off in a conference call, John was utterly blown by that. No one had ever cut him off in a conference call. And Hal was even upset. They called me right up afterwards. And my dad that night said, Richard, when you find out who John Peterson is, you won't like him very much. So he was right.
And what did the patrons say?
Well, what the patrons... The patrons, I'll tell you what, of all the people that they coached me or guided me with, boy, they were on me like flies on shit for every conversation I ever had with him face-to-face. They were there. Exceeding cautionary, as if he was a white shark. Now, I never felt that superfluence in that way about anyone else. It was like always with John, danger, 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 danger. As if we were talking to a former member of a master cult.
What's he doing now?
Pushing up daisies. Unfortunately, we're never going to see him testify. He took a Moby's dick worth of information with him to the grave. And because he has family, and we'd rather not see, he knows what would happen to them. So he didn't leave any out. He didn't leave us any Easter eggs. No, he just took a whole boatload of humanity's history to the grave with him. Dad was right. I don't like him very much.
Any predictions for the next 1, 5, 10 years?
Well, I think what we're going to see is, I'll have to put it this way. I think a blue rose and a red rose are going to come together and have been for some time. Some laws were bent, broken, long time ago, and they made us. And when the sheriff came to town, generational mediation had to be put in form. Well, I think we're going to see a moment in which blue rose and the red rose begin to become one run. And I think we're going to see some amazing things, no matter who tries to keep us from seeing them in the next couple months. And that's about the whole of the prediction I want to make, other than the fact that I'll tell you, every time, I don't know why, every time I see another fake or real picture of Three Eye Atlas, I feel giddiness like I haven't felt since I was a little kid, Christmas. So that's about all I'm going to say.
Richard, this has been great. Where can people pick up the book that you mentioned? Where can they, is there anything else they can follow you on social media, anything like that?
Jacques Lowell. I think the handle is OL_IL. And I have a pinned, my pinned tweet is a link to the book Forgotten Unity on Amazon. It's $1.99. It's basically less than a cup of coffee.
Yeah, both those links are in the show notes. And also a shout out to Steph Kent, Covertress on X.com, who connected us. Thank you, Steph.
Steph is rocking. She is my spirit animal.
Yeah, we should do this again, Richard. We should do this again. Maybe like in a couple months or something, we should reconnect and do this again.
Oh, I hope we do. In fact, you know what? Let me make a suggestion. Here's a prediction. If you contact me, surely 6 to 7 days before the winter solstice, we should have a very interesting conversation. Mark in your calendar.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Right on. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Richard. We appreciate you coming to the show. We'll talk again, I guess, maybe in about 2 months' time.
I hope so, Danny and Graham. I enjoyed meeting you both so much.
Yeah, you too. Take care, Richard.
How are you both?
Have a good night.
You too.
And that was our chat with Richard Gale, Jacques Oil.
Yeah. It's hard to pronounce. Oil.
Oil.
I looked up the pronunciation, but that's his That's his nom de guerre, is it? Or nom de plume? Nom de plume, I guess.
Is that his pseudonym?
His pen name, pseudonym on X. So, because I wasn't sure what his real name was. If it was Richard Dell or Jacques. Because his book is under Richard Dell. So I think he's got a sequel coming out too, but I don't know when that's gonna happen. But yeah, it's super interesting read. I mean, I've never heard him on a podcast at all or anything. This is a total shot in the dark, or maybe not. That's not the right term. But I was like talking to Steph on X, and I'm like, there's two guys. We have another guy coming on too later. But I was like, this sounds like it's going to be really interesting. I mean, it's right up our alley with the whole warm fusion stuff. I got to send him like the thunderstorm generator work and all of that Malcolm Bendall stuff and the whole, like, you know, X-Files and put off and UFOs. I mean, pretty fascinating.
I had a great time. That was a blast. I really did enjoy it. I'd do that again anytime.
I can tell you were quite intrigued there.
Yeah. It's a great way to spend Monday, a Tuesday afternoon. I mean, anytime we can do that. Anytime. Big thanks to Richard for coming on the show, Jacques, whatever to call him. Check out the book. I mean, I wonder if it's going to be on audio.
I don't know. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him if we can, because I think he self-published it. Excuse me.
There you go. You could read that, bitch. Check out the book. Thanks for listening. And even bigger thanks, of course, if you are getting some value from our podcast here, if you enjoy it, if you could send some value back our way, that's kind of the way we kind of hope it works, is that we will just put it all out there. And the people that can afford to support it will support it. If they, like he said, $1.99 a month, we'll take that. We'll take $1.99 a month. We'll take $1.99 one time. We'll take whatever you got in your pocket, whatever change you got. We'll also take some crisp $100 bills if that's more your style, whatever floats your boat. You head over to grimamerica.ca/support today. Sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation, and we'll read your note. We'll make you a lord. We'll make you a lady. You won't be a shitty pleb anymore. You'll be a noble in the hegemony of Grimerica. First, check out adultbrain.ca for all of our audiobooks, ebooks, and print books coming up on 200. Contact at thecabin.com for trips and events, where there is still a couple spots left for that Azores trip coming up in a few months. And of course, adult. What else we got? Grimerica.ca for the stuff that's a little more off the wall, which we did get the YouTube channel back. And we are monetized on our YouTube channel again as well. So you become a member of that, or you can just watch it and that helps, or you can share it, or you can super chat it, whatever floats your boat over there too. Whatever you can do to support us, at the end of the day, we appreciate. And it's super important that people do that. Otherwise, there won't be a show one day if nobody supports it. So thank you. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Somehow I built a rocket ship out of the stuff dreams are made and popsicle sticks. Please look at my rocket ship schematics. Tell me it can fly to the moon. Tell me I'm not a lunatic. I bet you think I'm the space cadet. I bet you think I'm the space cadet. No regret, I do not fret, 'cause I am a space cadet. In my hands I have a gas can and matchsticks. Yes, Earth is my home, but I need a vacation from all the sadness, the chaos, and dramatics. I'll let you do the countdown, 3, 2, 1, no hesitation. I bet, I bet, I bet, I